Psalms chapter number 63. If you've been saved any length of time, you've read this chapter and been blessed by it. Probably saw yourself in it. Probably saw yourself in Psalm 63 as a mirror, just like looking in a mirror. You know, I'm glad that God allowed the Holy Spirit to pin down and write down in Scripture the experiences of others, so that you can relate to it, so that God can show you that there have been people walked this path before, and that God can help you as He did them. And we're going to look at one such case with David. Several times David's writing about his experiences. And the heading of the psalm, it talks about a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Boy, we don't like wildernesses, do we? And so that's the heading and that's the setting of Psalm 63. Notice verse number 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up mine hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate upon Thee, on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. I believe I'll read that verse again. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. Paul, writing in the Acts, and he wrote it there, I believe in chapter 27, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. We're here tonight because of the help of God. We're not here tonight because we've helped God. We're here tonight because God has helped us. God is seen throughout the Bible as being a God that helps us. Amen. The next verse, verse number 8, my soul followeth hard after Thee, Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Speaking of himself as the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, You add the blessings to Your precious, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. We pray that You'll help me to help Your people and the Word of God be expounded and be, Lord, be presented as to relate to our lives practically. Thank You for the Word of God. Lord, without it, we wouldn't know anything about You, wouldn't know anything about salvation, wouldn't know anything about sin. We wouldn't know nothing about nothing if we didn't have a Bible. Thank You, Lord, for its inspiration and preservation, that we can have it now. And Lord, I'm confident that we do have it. Lord, help me now, I pray, for the next few minutes. We'll give You thanks for it. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. I want to preach today, and of course it's evident out of the heading of the psalm. David was in a wilderness, and a wilderness is known as a barren, dry, dusty place. Verse 1 even supports that. He said that My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. So David was telling a little bit, letting us see a little bit about his circumstance and the fact that he was in a very dry, a very barren experience on the outside. But on the inside was quite another story. Boy, I'm glad we don't have to get dry in dry times. I'm glad we don't have to dry up in dry times. I'm glad that we can, as God's people, go through dry places without becoming dry people. Say amen right there. Amen. We better get a hold of that, because this country is getting spiritually becoming more dry every moment that passes. Spiritually, the old time way is going down the tubes. There's not too many people interested in true, powerful preaching and worship and serving the Lord and living for the Lord. But this passage of Scripture shows us that we do not have to become dry people in dry places. We can go through and experience dry times without drying up in them. Don't ever blame your wilderness for you drying up. Don't ever blame your circumstance and your situation for you drying up. Amen. Because the truth about God's people is, we do not drink from without. God's people do not drink from the wells of the world, as presented in John chapter 4. The woman got saved at the well, at Jacob's well, and she had a water pot, and that's what she depended on when she was lost. She had to go get what she could get in the water pot. But after she got saved, she didn't need the water pot no more. She left her water pot. Why? Because on the inside, there is a well springing up. So if you're trying to drink from without, that's when your thirst comes. That's when you start drying up. It's when you're trying to quench a thirst from without. But we drink from within. We drink from above, and therefore we can survive the dry places. In fact, in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 92, I think it is. What name did you say? Or I looked it up. But the Bible likens God's people unto a palm tree. And palm trees are made and created to survive in very severe environments. He didn't only liken us in that chapter to palm trees, but also to the cedars of Lebanon. Those cedars, boy, there's a lot of good preaching in there. I preached out of that. But both of those, the palm tree and the cedar tree, both was growing and flourishing in very severe situations. God makes God's people to flourish in severe conditions. Amen. We're not a bunch of wimps. God's people are not a bunch of sunshine dwellers. God's people are God's people, whether they're in a wilderness, whether they're in a storm, whether they're on the mountain, whether they're in the valley. We still belong to the King of Kings. We still possess life and power and ability from God to triumph and to be overcomers. Amen. That's right. The world, I'm afraid, looks at a lot of God's people as just a bunch of wimps and worldly rejects. Can't make it in the world, so you go join a church. Amen. Can't be popular in the world, can't be successful in the world, so you go join a church. That's where all them worldly rejects go. I want to tell you, friend, I'm not here tonight because I was rejected. I'm not here tonight because I was rejected from the world. I'm here tonight because I was accepted in the Beloved. And there's a big, and when I got accepted in the Beloved, then I become rejected by the world. Amen. It's hard to convince me you're accepted in the Beloved and still be accepted in the world. Well, amen. But it's very evident David is experiencing some very dry times around him. Brother Bob's down with us, visiting with us a couple of days, and be going back this week. And he lives in Wisconsin, and he'll tell you how dry it is up there. Brother Brooks has been up there. It's very, spiritually, it's very dry. Can't hardly find a church that's got any power and got any excitement and got any life. You don't have to go too far from where you're sitting tonight that you'll be hard-pressed to find a church with any life in it. And I'm not talking about wildfire. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about stuff that's man-made. I'm talking about old-time power from above. Amen. It's becoming a thing of the past. And here's the bad part of it. Here's a lot of church people likes to have it so. Amen. But let's look at this just for a few minutes tonight. First of all, I notice that in his dry time, I notice the first thing I see in verse 1 that was a positive in his negative. Around him, he could look around and see negative things. But he brought out several positive things. Around him was dry. Dry. Everywhere he looked, it was dry. Dry at church, dry at home, dry at work, dry at school. Everywhere he was dry, but he didn't focus on the dry. He focused on some other things, and I want to share them with you. When you go through dry times, these are some things you better focus on. Don't focus on the dust. Don't focus on the dryness and the heat of your trial. Focus on these positive things. Focus on these delightful truths in dry times. The first one in verse number 1, I noticed that David talked about a relationship. Oh, Lord, help us. Look at the first statement, if you will, in verse number 1. Oh, God, Thou art my God. Well, that's a good statement to think about. That's a good truth to think about in dry times, is that it might be dry, and it might be dark, and it might be difficult, and it might be perilous times. But I want to tell you, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we can shout about a relationship. The wilderness does not cancel out the relationship. He's in a dry time, he's in a wilderness, he's running from Absalom. He's fleeing for his life. But he starts out by saying, Oh God, Thou art my God. What about that? Well, I like that. Well, there's a difference in relationship and fellowship. Fellowship can be broken. Boy, my daddy, many times I'd do things that broke my fellowship with him. But I never did anything that broke my relationship. I mean, when I was sorry and dirt, he was still Don Rackley and I was still his son. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, your spiritual strength comes from your fellowship with God. But he talked about his relationship that he had. Notice this. He first stated that it was a positive relationship. He said, Oh God, Thou art. He talked about it being a present relationship. He said, Thou art, not was, not might plan to be, but now. Thou art. I like this. He talked about it being a personal relationship. He said, Oh God, Thou art my God. I like that. A personal God. Isn't that something? And you can go to India. You can go to India and down there, everybody's got their own personal gods. And down there, they have even god shops where you can just go into these god shops and tell them what you want your god to look like and features you want your god to have, and they'll just carve him out. They'll just put him in a machine or whatever, and they'll just make you one. And you can go out of there with a god in your pocket. Or hang it on a string, or put it on the mantle or something, you know? I want to tell you, friend, we've got a personal God. And it's not one you can put on a string. And it's not one that man's carved out with a knife. Amen. It didn't come out of a piece of stone or wood. Amen. I want to tell you, the God of heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is the God of His children individually. A personal relationship. Thou art my God. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I like that. David, when he got in a dry time, he didn't focus on horizontal relationships. He looked at the vertical relationship. He was fleeing from Absalom. He was being attacked. There were folk desiring to kill him. He alluded to that on down in verse 9 when he said, but those that seek my soul to destroy it. So he makes a reference there. He's under an attack. There's some people after him. But you know what? He's not starting this psalm out complaining. He's not starting this psalm out in dry times talking about, my friend, discouraging things. But he started out magnifying a relationship. As if to say, if you got a relationship with God, you can make it. It may be dry, but you're not going under if God is your God and you have a relationship with Him. Number two, notice this in verse 2. In verse number 2, it's evident, verse 2, that he's praying. Well, actually, verse 1, it's evident that he's addressing God in prayer. And he's given a request in verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory. Well, I like the young people that sang tonight about, I'm tired. I'm tired of this old dried up mess. Basically, it's what they were singing about. Send the rain. I'm ready. They got to that statement where they said, I'm ready. I'm ready. Send the rain. Send the fire. Send the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Are we ready tonight? But the request is something you need to focus on. Not just a relationship, but you need to focus on a request in that you can pray. Oh yes, you can pray. You can pray in difficult times. You can pray in dark times. You can pray in dry times. Amen. Well, I'm glad that we can pray. I'm glad we've got the privilege of praying. People can't force you to stop praying. They can hold a gun to your head and say, I'll kill you if you pray. And you can look down the end of that barrel and pray a hole in the sky from your soul and they cannot stop you. Prayer comes from within, praise God. I have a spiritual hookup with God, amen? Amen. You pray from within. But there's a request in verse number 2, and it's evident that he's praying. Boy, one of the hardest things to do is to pray when it's dry. Hardest thing, hard to do. It's not impossible. The privilege is there, but it seems like it's difficult to pray when you're going through dry times. If you're not careful when you go through dry times, you'll dry up with it. You'll let the heat of your circumstance dry every bit of the spiritual moisture out of your life. And you'll dry up with it. David's showing us in this psalm that you don't have to dry up in dried up places and dried up times. How? By first focusing on a relationship with God. Secondly, by giving that request, make sure you keep praying. You may not feel like it. I'd say David, being hounded, being harassed, my friend, his very life under an attack, I'd say there's times David didn't feel like praying. But I want to tell you what, David prayed anyhow. David prayed anyhow. You keep praying. You'll keep persevering. You keep praying. You'll keep progressing. You keep praying. You'll keep prevailing. You're never going to be a quitter and a has-been till you quit praying. One of the first things to go in a person's life, and I can attest to it, one of the first things to go when you go through dry times is you quit praying. Your prayer starts getting dried up with you. Are you listening? Amen. God may be just sending this message tonight as a preventative maintenance. But I'd about say that there's some folk in our church going through some dry times right now in one area or another. But don't dry up with it. I tell you, what blesses me is when I see people that I know is going through it. People that I know is encountering hard times, dry times, difficult times, but they stay with the stuff. They keep coming to the house of God. They keep praising God, testifying, and I like it. Amen. Well, we've seen them here. We've seen many of them here on both sides of that equation, both sides of that illustration. We've seen them here, my friend, go through the dry times and keep coming. I mean, keep praising God. They may not can run, but they just keep moving one step in front of the other. And the sun will shine in their life again. But on the other hand, we've seen them here dozens over the years. We've seen them shout real loud in the sunshine. But then when the dark and the dry times come and hit, they fizzle out and quit. You know what that does? You know what kind of message that sends to sinners? That you didn't have nothing anyhow. If that's not the message it sent, then this one is, your God isn't much. It's what they believed in the Old Testament, that the God on the mountain and the God in the valley. They said, if we can get them in the valley, we can whip them. Their God is the God of the hills, and that's it. You'd be surprised how many people believe that even today that are lost as they look at church folk. You know why they believe that? Because when you're on the mountain, you're shouting. When on the mountain, you're faithful. On the mountain, you're smiling. On the mountain, you're involved. But then when you go through a dry time, you get the hit and miss with your church attendance and spirituality goes out the window. That tells people that there's not much there. But I want to tell you, friend, focus on your relationship. Focus in dry times on requests and prayer. And watch this. Look what David prayed. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Now wait a minute. David wasn't praying to be restored back to the palace. David wasn't praying to be restored back to on the throne. Where he'd have all the attention and all the glory and all the honor and all the pleasures. No, David said, even out here in dry times, running for my life, what I want to see more than anything is the power of God and the glory of God. Amen. I tell you, I've been dry before. Many times, but I want to tell you what's the truth. I have never liked it. I've never liked it. Not once have I ever got dry in dry times, and that only happens when I allow it so. Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you, dear friend, to see thy power. Boy, wouldn't you like to see it? Wouldn't you like to see an old-fashioned outpouring? Wouldn't you like to see an old-fashioned revival? One that, Brother Brooks, one that the devil couldn't stop. One that the United States couldn't stop. One that all the laws that they would try to make couldn't stop. Wouldn't it be good to see God send a tidal wave across this country? Wouldn't it be good? David said, oh God. I'm talking about in dry times. David said, I want to see the power and the glory of God. Listen what he was reminded of. So as I have seen thee. In the sanctuary. David said, I'm reminded even in this dry, dark experience. David said, I'm reminded of those times I went to church and the power of God and the glory of God moved. David, in this experience, Brother Ivan, was drawing strength from a past experience in the sanctuary when he was experiencing the exposure of God. Oh, yeah. It's not every time you go to church a power of God comes. It could, but it's not every time. But those times you've had encounters with God, you better remember those times. Those times that you've gotten a good service and the touch of God come, you better remember those times. Those times that you was touched. Those times that you was blessed. Those times that God allowed you to get in on it. You better remember those times. Because you might be in a cave somewhere and draw strength from it. You may be in a dry time in the future, my friend, and draw strength from it. And David said, Lord, I want to see your power and your glory as so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Amen. Yeah. Church is not meant to just have present effects. God doesn't want the sanctuary to just bless you now. Oh, how many times have we come, I put myself there. How many times we have come in here dragging our tracks out because we were so low. So, amen, I mean dried up and defeated and discouraged and come in the house of God and God get to moving and God get to speaking and pick us up. Pick us up and help us. I want to tell you, thank God for those times. I wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for those many times that God helped me in the house of God. Oh, I can't make it without church. I'm telling you, friends, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not just preaching. I wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for the help that I've received at the sanctuary. Oh, I can't tell you the times that God has picked me up. I can't tell you the times God has fired me up. I can't tell you the times that God, in grace, when I didn't deserve it, God come and began to love on me. Sure, He wants the sanctuary to have some right now effects and bless you now. Oh, I see it. But oh, God wants the sanctuary to have some prospective blessing. God wants tonight's service to bless us in the future. Amen. Oh, that tells me that the blessings of God don't fade out when you cut the lights out after a while. The blessings of God in the sanctuary lives on in the believer. Oh, hallelujah. I feel a little bit of it now. Thank God. Hallelujah. In a dry time, we still have a relationship that we can shout about. I can't shout about my wilderness, but I can shout about the wonderful Savior that I have. Bragged on the relationship. He boasted about the fact that he could pray. Number three, he expressed a resolve. Look at verse 3. He said in verse number 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Yeah. Hold that one up beside of worldliness. The world to tell you that you got to have what they can give in order to be happy. No, David said thy loving kindness is better than life. And watch this. My lips shall praise thee. Shall is a determination. Shall is a commitment. Shall is I've made my mind up. Shall is it's not up for discussion or debate. My lips shall praise thee. Well, we need to be determined tonight that come what may, we're going to bless the Lord at all times. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He had a resolve. He had a resolve. In verse number 1, he had that resolve, that determination to seek the Lord. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. Had a resolve to seek the Lord. He had a resolve in verse number 3 to praise the Lord. And again in verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee. Watch this. In dry times, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He said, I've got a resolve that I'm going to seek the Lord. Have a resolve that I'm going to praise the Lord. And then in verse number 4, he said, thus will I bless thee while I live. He said, I've got a resolve that I'm going to bless the Lord. When's the last time you blessed the Lord? A lot of people wants God to bless them. But when's the last time you wanted to bless Him? Those two are kind of connected. I don't think you'll be too excited about His blessings if you're not excited about blessing Him. Amen. Yeah. Poochy lips, and complaining, and gossiping, and all of that will never win nobody to Jesus. But have that old-fashioned resolve, determination in your heart that come what may, dry as it can be. Listen, somebody better get this message tonight. Dry, dry, wilderness dry. But yet David said, I'm determined. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord. And I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen. Look here. Here's something else in verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You know what David said, number 4? Not only there's a relationship and there's a request and there's a resolve, but he said there's also a remembrance. David said, when I am in this wilderness and I'm fleeing from my life, from Absalom, and I'm in the wilderness of Judah and people are seeking me to destroy me in verse 9, David said, here's what I'm thinking about. David said, I'm remembering. David said, I'm remembering. So is verse number 2, to see thy power, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David is remembering. David is remembering. Well, I'm glad even in the wilderness we can recall, we can call to mind the blessings of God. I believe that's what Peter had in mind when he's talking about stirring up your pure mind by way of remembrance. What are you focusing on when it's dry? What are you thinking about? Let me help you right here. If your thoughts, my friend, are carnal and fleshly and sinful and worldly in dry times, guess who's behind that thought life? Guess who's behind that thought line? Guess who it is that's causing you to have thoughts about going out and getting involved in some wickedness to deal with? Let me help you with something. Going away from the truth and the things of God and to explore and experience things of the world is not how you deal with dry times. It's not how you deal with it. You deal with it by focusing on your relationship, thanking God for that relationship, being determined that you're going to seek God. That resolve and that request keep your prayer life going. And then remember. He said, I'm going to remember thee upon my bed. When I lay down at night, I'm not thinking about Absalom and I'm not thinking about the attacks. I'm thinking about you, Lord. Amen. How much do you think about Jesus? And then number 5 there in verse number 7, he magnifies another truth to think about in dry times. And I just simply use the word refuge. Verse number 7, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. He's talking about refuge. In the shadow of the wings. Well, we all have learned about that. We all know about that, those experiences. If you had grandparents that had chickens. Well, I tell you right now, you mess with an old mother hen, buddy, you will get... Has anybody here besides me been flogged? I'm not talking about by your wife or husband. I'm talking about by a chicken. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they may not weigh 5 pounds soaking wet, but they can put a hurting on you. And they don't care how tall you are, how big you are. You mess with their little ones, they're going to tire you up. And I got introduced to that. Grandma told me, you can, and I'd chase them around them little fuzzy things, you know, you just think, man, I got to get my hands on them, you know, like kids are. And Grandma kept telling you she's going to get you. She'd bow up and throw them wings out and make them noises. Grandma'd say, you better leave them diddles alone, amen, them dibbies alone. Mama's going to get you. I thought, nah, Mama ain't going to get me. I can run too fast. Next thing I knowed, I was looking at the bottom side of her feet. Are you listening? I went out of the chase and diddle business. But we used to have them too at the house. And a lot of times I'd get up there and I'd begin to whistle like an old hawk, you know, or make a sound like that. And boy, they'd throw them heads up and that mama hen would make that certain specific cluck. And boy, I want to tell you, those little diddles, that's all I ever called them, diddles. Some of you call them dibbies. Y'all can be wrong, I guess, but... I'm telling you, listen, they'd be spread out all over that hillside up next to the chicken house. And she'd make that noise because she thought danger was in the area. Of course, I was in the area and there was danger. When you feed them firecrackers, that's pretty dangerous. Amen. That's bad, wasn't it? I've not always been saved. Y'all understand? Amen. God help me, Jesus. But them diddles get underneath the wings, buddy, of old mama. And I watched them more than once get under there, and they'd be coming, they'd just be coming from every direction, coming to her. And they'd get up under them wings, and you know what I've seen them do many times? I've seen them all get up under there, and she'll just kind of fluff out on top of them, and then I'd see one of them stick her head right out through the feathers. Just almost like saying, nah, 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 nah. Ha, 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 you can't get me. Ha, ha, ha. It's about what they said. While David was referring to his refuge and his shelter being the wings. Hey, I want to tell you, when those little ones didn't know nothing about danger, there was a mama that was alert. They was alert to danger, kept the eyes open and could give that certain cluck. I want to tell you, God wants to call you to Himself in dry times, my friend, and get up under them wings and enjoy safety underneath the wings. Hallelujah for that. He said there that thou hast been my help, and therefore in the shadow of thy wings, look what he said he was going to do under there. In the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. That word rejoice means I'm going to sing aloud. Hey man, that's something good to do. Dry times, sing. Sing, amen. That's right, that's good, amen. But there is the refuge. And then verse number 8, there is the reach. My soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Right, thy right hand upholdeth me. You know what he was saying? He was saying that though I'm in a dry time, he said, the hand of God is still underneath me. The hand of God has reached me. When David could not reach back to where his throne was, God's hand reached him. Thank God you can focus on that when you get in a dry experience. When he couldn't reach the glory of God in verse 2, he had the grip of God in verse 8. I like that. That word upholdeth, you see that word in verse 8? My soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. That word upholdeth means to grasp, means to support, to lay hold of, to hold fast, to hold up. Don't you like that? Oh, thank God, how in the world can you sink with Jesus holding you up? We have a New Testament example of somebody that couldn't sink with Jesus hold of them, and that was Peter. Remember when Peter was sinking, he cried, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached forth his hand and caught him. Guess what Peter stopped doing? Sinking. Hallelujah. Amen. David said in dry times, there is a delightful truth of God's reach. And then verse number 9 and 10 and 11, here's another truth and some of us might need to get a hold of this tonight. There's another truth that David thought about and he drew strength from in his dry times, and that is the word revenge. Look at verse 9. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, and they shall be the portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. You know what David was showing right here? God can take care of my enemies. Amen. Wouldn't it be good for us to learn that what the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, let God deal with it. Well, I learned that a long time ago, and that's not easy to learn. That's not an easy lesson to learn because you're not built that way. You're built to, you know, you're going to mess with somebody that's messing with you. Fight fire with fire. Somebody attacks you, you attack them. That's the way that we're built. But I want to tell you, friend, you can trust the just hand of God to take care of your battles. And David said, those that's after me, God's going to deal with them. Those that's after me, those that's going to destroy me. David said, you know what? David said, I'm going to trust him. God can take care of it. God can deal with it. You try to deal with it and you'll become bitter. You try to deal with it and you know what else? You'll not only become bitter, you'll get crossed up with God. You'll get crossed up with God. When you take vengeance into your own hands and you start to trying, you say, but preacher, they're attacking me. I need to defend myself. They were attacking David, but David didn't do it. David didn't defend. David focused on relationship and request and resolve, amen, and all of that, and remembrance of the Lord. And he just let God take care of his enemy. And did not God do it? Sure he did. Sure he did, amen. Praise the Lord, that's good. So that was found in verse 9, 10, and 11. Even in the last part of verse 11, the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. God can deal with it. God can handle it. And then last thing, verse 11, the first part, I like this. David was in a dry experience. David was in a difficult time. But you know what else David focused on as a delightful truth? He focused on this, and I call it royalty. He focused on royalty. You know why? Because he said, but the king shall rejoice in God. David still referred to himself as the king. He wasn't on the throne. He wasn't even at the palace. But he knew that in the eyes of God, he was still royalty. Now I want to tell you, friend, you may be in a valley. You may be on the mountain. You may be in a dry time in your life. But if you're a child of God, the Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. You're still his child, and that makes you royalty. The dry times don't change that. The dry times don't change that. Maybe some here tonight going through dry times in your life. And you need to you've been focusing on the dry times. You've been focusing on the dry places. But you don't have to dry up in dry places. Don't become a dry people in dry places. I know we referenced Brother Bob in Wisconsin and it being dry up there. But I'm going to tell you, it's dry in a lot of places down here. It's drying a lot of churches around here. It's drying a lot of churches in North Carolina. It's drying a lot of churches in South Carolina. Amen. I'm talking about churches that once had the fire. Churches that once, my friend, had the touch of God have all but dried up now. But my advice, Brother Bob, this last service tonight, he's going back this week, probably Tuesday or so, don't dry up in dry places. You on the job, I guarantee you where you work spiritually is probably some dry places. Don't dry up in dry places. Don't let the places affect the person. If you focus your life on the horizontal instead of the vertical, you will dry up. I'm going to close with that. Listen, the reason David didn't dry up even though he's in a wilderness, in a dry and barren land where no water was, is what he said. Do you know why he didn't dry up? He did not focus on the external. He focused on the eternal. That's good. I never thought of that. That just come out. That's good. He focused not on the external, the surroundings, but he focused on the eternal, his relationship to God. If your focus is on this level right here, and if you'll notice this level right here, Brother Ivan, you know what level that is? That horizontal level, if I focus on this, watch this. You notice what level that's on? That's on the same level I'm on. And if I focus on my level, focus on the outward, my friend, I'm going to dry up. But David focused on the vertical. David focused, kept his eyes and his spirituality is not this direction. The fruit of it's this direction, but the root of it is this direction. Spirituality's root is vertical. But the fruit of it is this direction. Amen. May God use His Word to help us tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, You take and use the feeble effort and the message tonight, dear God, from Your precious Word to speak to Your people and help them tonight. Thank You for the good day You've given us, the good services. We're grateful. Thank You for the stirring that you've brought about in some lives. Thank You for the help that was given. I know several folk had testified to me after the service this morning that they got some much needed help today, and I'm grateful to You. That's what church is about, and I appreciate it. Lord, I pray You continue to use our church for Your glory. Lord, there's some folk here tonight, Lord, they're just out of touch with You. Lord, they hadn't really had a touch from heaven in a long time. And I don't know how they can stand that any length of time. Lord, I pray You deal with them tonight. And Lord, may verse 2 be true in their life. May they, Lord, David didn't deny where he was. He didn't deny that it was dry and barren place. He didn't deny that. Lord, that's not how to deal with it, by denying it. Lord, he recognized it. But dear Lord, he realized that that's not, he was in the wilderness, but he was not of the wilderness. He was living in it, but he wasn't living off of it. And Lord, I pray that we'll recognize that even here as we're living in this world, but we're not living of it and we're not living off of it. Dear Lord, we're hooked up with our Heavenly Father and we have a relationship with You. Lord, speak to hearts in the service tonight. If someone here tonight's not been saved, I pray You deal with them according to Your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.